This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
All right, Wes, triple header last night. Holy mackerel, we had some stuff going on the ACC hardwood last night. By the way, Florida State just attempted another shot and made it in the first 20 seconds of this show. Were they smoking or were they smoking last night? That was crazy.
All right. Here's the thing. You rarely see in field goal percentage for a game, you rarely see the number six. Okay? Like, so when somebody shoots like 58% from the floor, you're thinking, holy smokes, that's going to be, I mean, that team definitely won. When somebody shoots 60 plus, you know they're going to win, right? When somebody shoots 70% from the floor, Pack, I mean, that right there proves to me that a lot of teams on the planet last night wouldn't have beaten Florida State if they shot 70.7% on 41 of 58. They missed 17 shots all night long. That's crazy.
Well, they shot, as you point out, 70.7% from the field. They shot 66.7% from threes, and just for fun,
right,
we're perfect from the free throw line, shooting 100%. I know we had Coach Hamilton on earlier this week, and he talked about, well, we're going to have an angry, talented NC State team coming here, and that was true. They were angry, and they are talented. Yeah. We had not seen the Noles in 2021. I think they just kind of built up all the frustration, just said, hey, you know what? It's time to go play. And man, did they put on a show. I mean, this got to be scary after a while because everything they touched went in the basket.
Everything. Yeah, late it went in. Cats coming off the bench, it went in. I mean, 2 minutes left to go and guys who don't play very much, it went in. Now, I mean, look at that. You got three guys around the rim following a dunk. There's MJ Walker. Just whatever. Shove it in. I mean, here's Raekwon Evans. He got a start last night. Bang, I'm scoring. That's Scotty Barnes. Bang. I mean, it's just crazy. And they shot 70.7, Pack. 70.7. Nobody shoots 70.7. That's a crazy number now. I mean, I told you guys before, they would beat any team in the country shooting 70.7. Oh, they're not beating Gonzaga. Well, I'm going to tell you, shooting nearly 71% from the floor, I don't care. If somebody shoots that against Gonzaga, there's a chance they're going to win the game now. I'm telling you. Even if it's Gonzaga, 82 Carolina, you know, name it. I mean, that's a hard number to get around if you're the opponent. I'm just telling you. NC State's a good basketball team. They got smoked last night. Part and parcel because of that. Holy smokes. It's unbelievable to watch that display last night.
Well, it almost got to be like, all right, is this like an optical illusion I'm watching on television? Is this like a highlight reel that's been spliced by the Florida State Athletic Department?
Right.
I mean, they were that good. I mean, it was just one of those things that you were like, yes. Hey, and if you're NC State, that's three straight L's. We got accounting coming up later. That will be dictated, I believe, when we do our accounting later this morning. So, listen, going into the game yesterday, I said I was fascinated on both sides because we have not seen Florida State play in almost 2 weeks. They had finished off the 20 calendar year, losing 2 of 3. You figured it. We know they're talented. They're the defenders of the ACC belt. So you figured that you're going to probably get a pretty good dose of what the Noles were about, and they were even better than advertised. And I was also interested to see what NC State was going to do coming off the tough loss to Miami at home, which I, again, still thought was a bad loss for where they think their program is and where I think they are. So I wanted to see them respond. That was a total knockout blow. That was one of those Mike Tyson in his prime. You got 20 seconds, see if you can survive, and you can't. And you're laying on the mat, and they'll wake you up whenever you wake up. That's kind of what that game felt like. I mean, that was just a woodshed from the get-go. And, you know, there's sometimes, you know, you're better off just staying home. And for Kevin Keats, they got some work to do now. That's, you know, the losing last week at Clemson, hey, no shame in that. You had a chance to win. Clemson's got a good club. The Miami loss, I still thought was a bad loss, but last night was Woodshed City. And you can't spin this one if you're a Wolfpack fan. But if you're a Florida State fan, holy mackerel, you're like, man, can I get some of that every time we play? Because if so, we're going to have run deep, deep, deep into the tournament.
Well, and the situation with NC State is they shot 44% from the floor, hit 11 threes, only got to the line eight times. Now, they got out-rebounded last night, but Manny Bates is injured with an ankle announced before the game. And then they only turned it over 11 times. And they got blasted. And here's the thing. I'm going to be honest with you. NC State's not a bad team. NC State's going to have a nice year in the ACC. But last night got sideways. And it got sideways because the team shot 71% from the floor. And, again, I'll say this. They would have beaten a lot of teams last night shooting 71%. I just think you have to understand and process it if you're Kevin Keats and say, okay, here comes Georgia Tech on Saturday to Raleigh. We got to be ready to play Georgia Tech. And by the way, guess who's coming off a pause? Georgia Tech. So if they come off pause like Florida State, then holy smokes. I mean, NC State's going to wonder what they did to somebody. But the idea here being, if you're NC State, take the tape. If you can find some positives in it, use it to get ready to play the Jackets on Saturday at noon in Raleigh. And, you know, and let's get this thing going. Get it back on track because it's a decent basketball team. It's a team that can be top half of the ACC at the end of the regular season.
Yeah, I agree with that. I totally agree with that. And Georgia Tech won't be easy for NC State. You know, let's be honest. Josh Pastner's guys are playing much better basketball than what we saw the first couple games coming out of the gate. But I will put out this, too. You mentioned that, you know, they wouldn't beat Gonzaga and all that stuff. You know what? Gonzaga and Baylor wouldn't let you shoot 71%. That's the difference.
That's probably true.
That is true.
But if they did, they probably would beat them.
No. Nobody's shooting 71% against those teams. That's a whole different animal. But nevertheless, Florida State was just tremendous, though, last night. That was also, I think, a reminder for everybody as we keep talking about who's the alpha in this league, right? We're going to get to the other games that played yesterday and last night. But I also thought that was kind of a wake-up call and reminder for folks as we've been going back and forth. And again, we just had not seen Florida State play in a couple weeks. And when we did see them, they kind of struggled down the stretch in 20. Just a reminder that, guess what? Still incredibly talented. They've got that championship DNA. They haven't gone anywhere. And they are still going to be a major factor in the big picture in this league. That was just a reminder that, hey,
Hack,
don't forget about us.
They had four guys in double figures last night, and Raekwon Evans, who will be with us at 9 o'clock at 24, is career high, okay? But you look at that team last night, 19 from MJ Walker, 6 of 7 from the floor, 18 from Nathaniel Jack, 7 of 8 from the floor. Scotty Barnes came off the bench, had 11. He was 5 of 7. That's a bad night on this sheet. you know, I mean, you just start thinking about all the people they run at you. Raekwon Gray, 7 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 22 minutes. 19, MJ Walker did it in 22 minutes. Jack's 18 points, by the way, came in 12 minutes. 11 for Barnes came in 13 minutes. I mean, they just went out and put it in fifth gear from the tip and said, okay, come catch us. And, you know, NC State, relatively speaking, got the full breadth of Florida State last night. They got all the depth thrown at them, and they're missing Manny Bates. They get 12 from Jericho Helms and 14 from Devin Daniels, and then 16 from Thomas Allen on 8 shots. I mean, it's not awful. Now, they had 10 assists on 28 made field goals, so that tells you that, you know, they were either getting it in transition or there wasn't much going on at the offensive end in terms of chemistry. But the idea that NC State, you know, just they got the bad end of the deal. There's no doubt about that. And I think Florida State's challenge is, can they get back there? Now, I'm not expecting 71%, but they fired out of the gate last night. And you're right, announcing the old Nuke LaLoosh line, announce your presence with authority. They did it last night, and now they've given you something to think about whether you play them Saturday like Carolina does or if you play them in a month. Because that right there was, whoa.
Well, I'll go back to our interview with Leonard Hamilton the other day, when he was like, hey, you know what? I don't think we're playing the best basketball right now. Because we asked, I remember I asked him the question, and Seth Greenberg said he thought Florida State was the best team. And I thought Coach was pretty honest with us, where he said, right now we're not playing the best basketball in the conference. We have the chance to be, at the end of the day, one of those teams. I thought that was an honest assessment. But I don't know if even Coach thought that a 71% shooting night was coming around the corner. You mentioned he missed 17 shots. I think they missed 6 from 3, 17 from the field, and 0 from the free throw line. I don't want to fast forward the clock, because I keep telling you, you know, every day you get cancellations and postponements given COVID, and we got a major one involving women's basketball, which we'll talk about, because Debbie Antonelli is going to join us coming up later this hour. And there are some matchups this weekend on the men's slate that are really going to be telling. You just mentioned Florida State, North Carolina. Heels have won 3 in a row. Florida State gives you a performance like that as a reminder that, guess what? We are still in this league, and we are a player.
Yep.
That is a huge game. Virginia, which we'll talk about, the Hoos beating up on Notre Dame again. Virginia's at Clemson this weekend. Tigers are coming off a pause. Apparently they practiced yesterday, which is a good sign that we can get this game in on Saturday. Yep. That's another one of those litmus test games of really the elite, right? Teams that we think are going to be in the top 4, top 5, top 6 of the league. And it's not a stamp of approval that, hey, this verifies everything, but it's just kind of a, hey, you need a check and balance right now as we try to figure out who are the teams in this league that are ready to take off and take ownership. And I think North Carolina's feeling good about itself for 3 in a row. Florida State has to feel great about what they gave you last night. Clemson's playing good basketball. Virginia's on a pretty good run, especially what they showed offensively against Notre Dame. Louisville is undefeated and still not whole. So, again, it's going to be interesting to see how this alpha thing we keep talking about at the top, you know, who emerges from this group. And we start getting some matchups. So, again, this weekend will be very telling, assuming we get those games in. And I hopefully we do for all our sakes.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Absolutely. But it's one of those things where last night messages were delivered, and the strongest message came from Tallahassee.
No question.
Man, they were impressive. Holy cow. You mentioned Debbie Antonelli coming up. Full show here today. 8 o'clock hour. Rock Harrison comes by. Pack.
Love it.
We get ready for Friday night duels now.
Love it. Love it. Yeah. Love it. Love it. We got Virginia Tech, North Carolina on the mat. And the only thing I don't like about it starts at 6 on ACC Network on a Friday, and I'm on the air on SiriusXM, but it will be recorded. So it's 7:01, one ice cube, two fingers, feet up, dogs, wrestling, and hopefully something to eat with my beautiful bride. That is on my docket on Friday evening, because I love duels.
Friday night.
Love it.
Duels coming up. Number 8, Virginia Tech. Number 14, Carolina. Rock Harrison here with a preview of that. And the rest of ACC wrestling. Jalen Cohn, looking forward to talking to the Hokies guard. Kind of instant offense, but really instant energy off of Mike Young's bench. We'll check in with him coming up at 8:30, 9 o'clock. Raekwon Evans, accounting, makes its debut on this show for this week at the bottom of the hour. And then we finish with Dallin Cuff at 9:30 this morning. Let's hope he's got some stuff on the wall.
And we have a big announcement at 9:45 today regarding the ACC. A big announcement. Yeah. We're going to break we are breaking news at 9:45 this morning.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on ACC Network. Pull up a chair. All right, we got other games to talk about, Wes, including Wahoo Wah. How about the Hoos scoring? Speaking of Florida State making everything looked at, all of a sudden, yesterday afternoon, middle of the afternoon, actually it was late afternoon, Virginia saw Notre Dame again.
Right in the middle of off campus.
Right in the I was talking to Mark Few, the head coach at Gonzaga. And Virginia is just lighting them up, like lighting Notre Dame up like they owned them. And they, in fact, they do own them when it comes to hoops. There's certain schools that when they see somebody in basketball, they just kind of go, you know, we're struggling, but not today we won't. And Virginia sees Notre Dame, they just light up like a Christmas tree, man. They just start making shots, and They put an 80 spot on Notre Dame, an 8-0 for the Hoos yesterday. How about that?
Yeah, the 80 number for Virginia is starting to become common, most in an ACC game over the last two seasons. Third game over 75, and they only got to that ticket once last year. So here goes Virginia. Casey Morsell, Jay Huff outstanding again, 18-5-2, four straight games with double-digit points. Cavaliers have won at least eight of its first 10 games in each of the last seven seasons. I mean, here we go. Virginia is in the mix, and they want you to know, as they say. Cavaliers, by the way, 4-0 in the league, 8-2 overall at this juncture.
All right, now we've got a counting that's going to pop up here shortly, and I'm sure there are going to be people screaming, as they always do. Folks that don't watch the show, right. They see it on social media, and these guys are idiots, and they don't listen to the program to understand the reasoning behind why we rank teams where they are. And I don't even know where you've got Virginia, sure. But we'll get to this. I will say this about Virginia. I think they're getting better, number one, which is good and not surprising because Tony Bennett coach teams do that. But here comes the butt with Virginia. I know they're 4-0 in the league. But I'm just going to point this out. They're at Clemson Saturday, which will be a tremendous game if we have it. I'm assuming we will. But Virginia has beaten Notre Dame twice. The Irish are 0-5 in the league. They've beaten Wake Forest. The Swiss, they're 0-4.
Oh.
They've beaten Boston College. They're 1-5. So I'm just going to, all I'm saying, I'm not trying to temper the enthusiasm because the Hoos are making shots, and that is a good thing, right? That's a good thing. Hauser's been really good. Morsell's making shots. Huff's been outstanding. But I think Saturday is really, to me, kind of one of those litmus test games to tell me where Virginia is. Clemson seems much more battle-tested than Virginia, in my mind. And the Tigers are, 3-1, I think, in the league? But the wins against Bama Mississippi State and Purdue and Maryland and Florida State, to me, much more impressive and kind of an indicator that today, even though I feel good about Virginia, I feel better about Clemson. Today, on January the 14th. All right. But Saturday is one of those games. You know, do I think Virginia will see 80 Saturday? I do not. Not the way Clemson plays D. But that game is a really fascinating game. That's one of those, we're going to find out where everybody is. Clemson coming off a pause. Virginia playing better. Games in Little John. I just talked about Florida State and North Carolina this weekend. Same thing with the Tigers and the Hoos. That is a really, really good ball game on Saturday.
Yeah, I think your point is that you have to kind of look at who's played who and when the matchups came along, who won the matchup, right?
Right, correct.
For instance, your statement about Virginia's inventory, look at who Wake Forest has played and look at their O. We transitioned to Winston-Salem last night. And look at the Deacons who are 0-4 in the league and look who they've lost to, right? I mean, Wake Forest has played some pretty serious competition here in the ACC. Louisville won for the fifth straight time last night since a December 19 loss to Wisconsin. And you start thinking, well, Wake Forest, holy cow, Wake Forest has played Duke. Wake Forest has played, let's see, who else have they played?
Virginia,
who else? Virginia.
Louisville.
Louisville. Good teams. I mean, and now, you start looking and you're thinking, wait a second, no wonder they're 0-4. So take all that into account as we look at this. But even last night in Winston-Salem, you can see Steve Forbes' team getting better.
Sure.
But it's a pillar to – and by the way, Carter Witt, who's bailed him out at point guard here since he left high school about a month ago and came to play in Winston-Salem – rolled an ankle in the shoot-around, he couldn't play last night. And it was still a 12-point game. So you can see the differences in certain programs. But we had three schools last night kind of, again, let you know that they're there. Virginia, Florida State, and clearly last night it happened with Louisville. Because Carleek Jones was outstanding for them last night, 23 points, 10 rebounds. It was good to see Samuel Williamson.
Excellent.
Have a good night for Chris Mack's team. Because that's a guy with David Johnson and Carleek Jones that I think can really add some firepower to what they're going to be. And then, oh, by the way, Charles Menlin dressed last night for the Cards as well, Pack.
Well, Johnson got in foul trouble, but when Williamson gives you 15 and 11, I'll tell you what, Chris Mack signs up for that every night of the week. You know, I just went through the inventory of Virginia's 4-0. You know, Louisville's 4-0. They've also played Wake. They've also played Boston College like Virginia has, but they've also got wins mm-hmm. against Virginia Tech. And we know how good the Hokies are. At least we assume how good the Hokies are at this point. And they've beaten a Pittsburgh team that nobody ever talks about because Pitt, hey, we haven't seen them. They're 2-1 in the league. And Pitt's got Syracuse this weekend. Remember, they stole that one on the road at the Carrier Dome where they're down, what, 16 or 18 and came back and won. So that's round two of that game. So I think the games coming up this weekend will really have a give us a feel and a vibe of does it confirm teams that we think that are good? NC State, Georgia Tech, right. You mentioned this weekend. Hey, after three straight losses, NC State's kind of got the do factor. They need to get that thing back on track. Georgia Tech coming off a pause, been playing much better. I have a funny feeling that we unveil accounting this week, which we're now doing on Thursdays. I think next week it could look completely different in accounting based on Saturday results.
That's true.
Only.
That's very
only.
True.
And
that's
so
very true.
To me, it's kind of a stamp of approval kind of weekend of, all right, Clemson, Virginia. We think both of you are right now upper third. But it is, you know, if Clemson beats Virginia, I mean, you got to start talking about, all right, now that Tiger resume is pretty strong. If Virginia beats Clemson on the road, hey, anybody was sleeping on the Hoos? That's one of those kind of games. It's more than just a win or a loss. It's kind of a momentum stamp of approval. Hey, we're the real deal. Deal with it. So I'm kind of excited to see what happens this weekend.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think this weekend becomes big in terms of a marker as to where teams are, right? It's still, I mean, look, we're looking at games last night where Notre Dame played their 11th, Virginia their 10th, Florida State their 8th, NC State their 10th, 10 for Louisville, 7 for Wake Forest. I mean, we're still dealing in single digits with some of these schools. How far along are they? We had Steve Forbes on here and asked him, you know, hey, coach, where are you? I think that'd be a fairly interesting conversation just from a standpoint of growth, because I think his version of improvement and the common version would be drastically different. But I think he's got to be at least somewhat pleased his team was competitive last night with a top 20 team in the cards.
Well, you know, they've played four, they've lost four, but last night was their ACC home opener. So, I mean, that's another thing, home and away. I mean, have you been loading up on home games against, quote-unquote, bottom feeders, at least what you think they are right now in the league? Mm. Or have you played teams of note, and where have you played them? So there's still so much unknown. And here's the other thing. As excited as I am about Saturday's games and this weekend's games, you know, there's one team we're still not going to know anything about, D-U-K-E, right? I mean, they lose on the road to Virginia Tech. They haven't beaten a ranked team. Yep. And they've got another week off. So, you know, we'll get a handle on North Carolina. They've won three in a row. Can they go to Tallahassee and be a red-hot Florida State team we saw last night? Don't know. We're going to watch it on Saturday. Florida State, do they blow North Carolina out like they blew NC State out and go, guess what, guys? Telling you, we are the real deal, and I think they are really good. So, again, we start getting some answers this weekend. And it's a cool time of the year because for the first time in my lifetime, I don't know who the best team is in the ACC in the middle of January. Have no idea. And it could be one of five or six teams.
Guess what? You get to tell us who you think number one is next. Right now.
You got it. That I can do, but I don't know about.
And I'm sure you got one of 16s hanging out there too.
Oh, I got a 16. There's a new, I told you yesterday, there's a new 16 in Kentucky, Big Blue Nation. You were not able to hold you and secure your spot at 16. There's a new 16th team.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
This is the segment of the show which people lose their minds with us. And that's okay. We always tell you.
They pull up a chair, they throw a chair.
They just leave the chair. They just say, no, these guys have lost it. But we always tell you, before you criticize us, do it yourself. You do it yourself, and then you can take shots at us. Yeah. That's how I feel about this thing, all right, with a calling.
That's it. I agree. Totally.
All right, we do them 1 through 15, because there are 15 ACC basketball teams on the men's side on the hardwood. 15.
That's right.
If you are in the mood and would like to participate with this function in this process, you can add a 16th just to balance things out, which is what I do. There's always a wild card at the 16th spot. Sometimes it's amusing, sometimes it's a point, but you'll get it here in a second. But Mr. Durham, you get to lead this week, 1 through 15. Let it rip.
Always a friendly reminder, use the hashtag Packer and Durham. You can submit your own accounting. We'll show one on the show tomorrow. Start at the top. Louisville has taken the number one spot for me this week. Cardinals move up a half dozen. Virginia Tech is two. Virginia Tech is two. Clemson is three. Virginia four. Florida State five. Yes, I watched last night. I understand. NC State is six.
Wow.
Duke seven. Georgia Tech eight. Nine is North Carolina. 10 is Pittsburgh. Then we go 11 through 15. Syracuse, Miami, Boston College, Notre Dame, and Wake Forest. Okay. That's where my accounting is. Questions and or comments, Coach Packer?
Well, first of all, it's about time. I got on you for putting Louisville 7 last week. I thought that was a mistake. That's from me to you. I'm not even going to
beat Virginia Tech.
I know who they beat. I get it. I just thought that you had them low last week. Right. Now you got them number one, which is fine. For the most part, believe it or not, there's really one school that I differ with you for the most part. But for the most part, we're kind of in the neighborhood of being about the same, which surprises me because I never want to know what yours is. So with that said,
Who do we differ with?
You're getting ready to see it. Here we go. Number one, Louisville. Number two, Virginia Tech. Number three, Clemson. Knowles are four, Virginia five. We have the same top five. The only difference really is the Florida State, Virginia flip-flop. I've got North Carolina sixth, only because they've won three in a row, and they're trending upwards. That's why they're up four spots for me. Duke, I still am in the middle of the road with Duke. They could eventually be really, really good. Or they could be middle of the pack, and that's where they are right now. They're seven. Need to see more of the Blue Devils. Eight, Pitt. Nine, Georgia Tech. Here's the team I differ with you. I got NC State 10. They dropped them eight. Listen, I was loving on them last week going into the Clemson game. You can't go L, L, L and just say, hey, we're going to hang around the middle. No, you're not the Florida Gators in football. You lose three in a row. I'm dropping your butt, unlike the AP and the coaches and all those other guys in football. So the Wolfpack's down eight spots. And I think our 11 through 15 is in the same neighborhood with the same combination. Syracuse, BC, Miami, Notre Dame, and the Swiss are at the 15 spot, even though I do think the Deacs are playing better. And replacing Kentucky in the Sweet 16 is Georgetown, and I'll tell you why. Every time I turn on ACC Network over the weekend, I saw Georgetown highlights. And I'm like, man, get them out of here. They stink. And they do stink. Go check it out. They've lost five in a row. I'm glad Syracuse beat them. Hate to see that they're on pause, which is a concern for ACC teams because, number one, you had to play Georgetown, and they've got COVID. So hopefully that doesn't have a trickle-down tracing effect on our conference. So Georgetown and Pat Ewing, hey, congratulations. You're Sweet 16 this week. Five-game losing streak. There you have it.
There you go.
What do you think?
Well done. I don't have an issue with yours. I mean, NC State stayed up there for me because, you know, going into last night, I just thought, well, you know, the other guy shot 71%. So for me, I didn't want to make too drastic a change. Now, I'll say this, lose to Georgia Tech, and there's a major issue going on.
Yeah, but
not
Wes,
a minor issue.
Wes, but accounting.
They lost to three good teams, though, Pat. Well, Miami may not be a good team.
They're not.
But they lost to. I mean, they've lost to
at Clemson is no shame.
Blank.
At Clemson's
no shame.
Right. At Clemson.
But at Florida State and at Clemson's not a problem.
Well, listen, here's how I read NC State. Our accounting came out before the NC State-Clemson game. So we've gone really almost a week and a half since making a change. This wasn't just from last night. Losing at Clemson was a game they really were in control of. And to Clemson's credit, because they're a good team, they won. So losing on the road against a good team, I don't have a problem with that at all. The loss to Miami was mm-hmm. not a good – that was a bad loss. And I don't mean to dump on the Canes.
Right.
But Jim Larrañaga on Truth Serum sitting right here beside me would tell you, we are so beat up. We're just trying to find warm bodies right now to go out and compete. And they've done a great job competing. And now the game the other night against BC, right. they didn't play well, but whatever. They've been competitive against all these teams they lost to by one bucket, whether it be Virginia Tech, whether it be the Clemson game, whether it be the North Carolina game. And then you beat NC State. NC State got boat raced right. last night. Now, listen, there's no shame to lose to Florida State, but they got, they got hammered. I mean, they were down 35, whatever it was. That is,
right.
that's a problem. That wasn't a 5-point loss. That was, hey, at halftime, mm-hmm. you're down 25, and what else is there on television? That's what that game was. So you can't lose three in a row and expect to still stay in the neighborhood. That's the only reason I dropped the Wolfpack down to 10, but they are capable. Let me just say this. In my opinion, NC State is capable mm-hmm. of going on a run and getting right back in that top five, top six. I think they're certainly that good. They've got that upside. So that's the good news for NC State.
And that's the way and to me, that's kind of the way I feel about Carolina. Some may say, well, why is Carolina 9? They just beat Syracuse. Well, they also just beat Miami. And prior to that, they had lost to NC State. So I'm more interested in seeing where Carolina goes. And, oh, yeah, here's Florida State on Saturday, by the way. And then you look at the Tar Heels. They get Florida State. The ball game of Clemson was postponed. Then they host Wake Forest and host NC State. So Carolina a week from now might be trending upward. But that's really going to be incumbent upon how they handle the next week. NC State, to me, I got them at 6. The bigger question I have is, where's the glob at this point? How you want to draw that line?
I think it's easy. For me, this is just my opinion.
You're going to go 1-5?
Yes, sir.
1-5.
1-5. That's where the line's drawn. Okay. And the only reason I've got North Carolina 6 is because they've won 3 in a row. They've won 3 games in a row. I mean,
sure.
Had it been the exact opposite, hey, North Carolina's got a double digit beside their name. It's that simple. That's why accounting changes weekly. This is not one of those forecasting of this is what we think it's going to look like in March. This is what it looks like on January the 14th. So when you have fun with us on our list, number one, do it yourself. And then number two, you make as much fun of us as you want. But I think you got to draw the line because the glob last year was the middle. This year it's the top. Who's the alpha? I think the combination is Louisville, mm-hmm. Virginia Tech, Clemson, Florida State, Virginia, today. I think that's where the line's drawn. Yep. Those five are the top five teams in the league. And of those five, I think that's where your alpha is going to come from. Does it mean that a team like Duke can't get hot? Does it mean that North Carolina can continue winning a bunch of games and jump into the mix? Does it mean that NC State can catch fire with their, and get on a run and be – hey, there's a lot of teams that can jump into that five, but I think that's where the line is, right there at 5.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't disagree. I think it's going to be – I think this is going to be really interesting because I think the line is at 5 right now. 1-5 is kind of the glob. And let's see who stays in and let's see who joins them. I'm not saying that it won't get bigger because I think it's got a chance to get bigger in terms of the list.
I agree. And that's why I'm excited about the games Saturday because, here's Florida State and Virginia, right? And you and I both have them 4 and 5 flip-flopped. Virginia mm-hmm. can basically say, hey, guess what? Forget 5. We're 1 or 2 with a W, right? Florida State, if they put another effort like they did last night and blow North Carolina out of the water, Florida State's going to look around and go, guess what? Forget us at 4 or 5. We're 1 or 2. Yeah. Louisville's sitting there. We both have Louisville number 1. And when and if they can get whole, Louisville's going to be a tough out, period. We both are high on Virginia Tech, and Clemson might have the best resume of anybody in the conference. I think it's one of the reasons you see them ranked 12th in the country by the AP, because their body of work has been better than everybody else's in the conference. So that's why I think those 5 are the 5. And North Carolina, if they could go win on the road at Florida State, make it 4 straight wins, you jump right back into the mix at 4-2. There's no question about that. Duke, we're still not going to know anything about the Blue Devils for another week. Still got to see more of them. So, again, we are just getting to the intriguing part schedule-wise where you really get a sense that these games are really, really important coming up.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
By the way, triple header of ACC women's basketball starts today, 4 o'clock. Wake Forest and Notre Dame. Sam Ravitch, Monica McNutt will have the coverage for you there. 6 o'clock, Virginia Tech and North Carolina. Pam Ward, LaChina Robinson. 8 o'clock tonight, Boston College at number 2 Louisville. That will be Jen Hildreth and, ladies and gentlemen, the former star of the North Carolina State Wolfpack, the Kerry Imps and purveyor of Ashworth Drugs lunch counter, Debbie Antonelli, who also joins us on this show. That's it. Thank you very much, homegirl. That's it. There's my homegirl coming up with the hot dogs at Ashworth Drugs. Pat, go ahead.
All right. The first thing I'd like to say, other than thumbs up on the T-shirt game is excellent today. That's number one.
Thank you.
Number two, I cannot tell you how bummed out I was yesterday afternoon hosting off campus during the break. I'm going through the list and I see breaking news, postponement of Louisville and NC State women's basketball. And we've been talking about it on this show on and off the air for about 2 or 3 weeks, making that transition from football to hoops. And we don't know who the alpha is in men's basketball. We got a number of people that can be that team. We don't have that problem on the ladies' side because we've got two alphas with Louisville and NC State ranked number 2, number 3 nationally. And I was so bummed seeing that news. First of all, the health and safety is priority one, so that's the first concern. But Debbie, doggone it, I was so in the mood Sunday to see the two of the best teams in the country, two teams that could win the national championship in their only meeting, have the showdown, and we're just not going to get it. Welcome to COVID basketball, right? That's where we are.
Yeah, I'm with you. I am as disappointed as you are. I'm sure the players are disappointed. Both these teams were looking for that high-level competition. Of course, NC State's already had a chance to play the number one team and take down South Carolina earlier in the year, so they've had a chance to measure up against some other teams. But, you know, Louisville, this was going to be a big game for them. The only team they have left that probably could cause some sort of problem for them could be Syracuse on their schedule. Now, I don't know if NC State and Louisville will be able to make that game up, but what a disappointment for all fans across the ACC. I know NC State fans are disappointed as well because these are clearly the two best teams. They're two Final Four caliber teams. They check every box, and it would have been really fun to watch them go up against each other.
Debbie, do we have an issue with the ACC on the women's side now because of the number of postponements? I mean, we've got quite a list building on the men's side of postponements. In your mind, are we going to run out of runway? Pack and I talked about this in football. I mean, we just ran out of runway in order to get to whatever the postseason was going to be. Are we going to face a similar circumstance, you think, in women's or men's basketball?
I do. I think trying to reschedule is a challenge. Trying to do everything inside the protocols is challenging. When you get a chance to have some marquee matchups, you really like to see them happen, especially on the women's side where we don't get as many marquee opportunities as the men. And I definitely think it's a problem. Just start with whether we will or won't have conference postseason tournaments, which I think we will. Mm. But then just think about how you're going to seed those. What if NC State and Louisville go undefeated and don't get a chance to play? Who's the one seed? I mean, how do you measure that? And those are conversations that we should start having probably very soon because it does affect scheduling moving forward. I think there's so much strategy here to how you replace a postponed game. Do you reschedule depending on who it is? And, you know, outside of NC State and Louisville, the rest of the league is really good. You know, NC State and Louisville were Final Four teams, but the rest of the league, it's all packed in there together. And it's strategic about how you schedule and who's going to get a chance to play in the postseason.
I have a suggestion under your scenario that if it turns out NC State and Louisville run the table and we have the tournament, who's the one seed? There's only one way to break the tie, Debbie. Free throw shooting contest.
Are you going to flip a coin?
No, free throw shooting contest.
Free throw shooting.
And who better to conduct the tiebreaker than one of the greatest free throw shooters of all time?
Of all time.
Well, I think they might be leaning towards flipping a coin before they did that. I'm sure.
There's
no fun in that. I mean, goodness gracious.
Need content.
Yeah. I mean, if Jim Phillips wants to flip the coin in his office, I mean, that's all fine and good. But hey, how about something for the network? How about we bring in the two undefeated teams, two teams that could win the national championship? We didn't get a chance to see them play face to face. We bring them right there to the Greensboro Coliseum, and you conduct on air right here on ACC Network free throw shooting, loser leave town. Who's the one seed? Who's the two seed? It'd be fantastic television.
I got a better idea, Debbie. All right, I got a better idea. You're working with Jen Hildreth tonight. She's got that great soccer background. We treat it like penalty kicks, right, Pac? We line five or six up from each school. They shoot. Whoever gets the best five or six, and from that point on, we shoot, you know, sudden victory shooting, if you will. That'd be the way to do it. Hey, we got some content right there. That's a half hour maybe.
I tell you what, you throw in a couple Packer and Durham promos, and you got 30 minutes right there just to determine who's the number one seed in the league. How awesome would that be? We are here to provide content.
I like it.
Yeah. All right. Now, you mentioned, you know, we talk about the infamous glob for the men has now moved to the top. Almost every single women's head coach or player that we have on the show, we discuss, all right, put NC State and Louisville over here on the shelf for a second. Syracuse has been consistently ranked in the top 25 all year, but you mentioned this cluster of other teams, and I'm not sure how we break that tie yet, because it kind of feels like the top of the men's game, you're kind of waiting to see somebody emerge. Maybe it's Georgia Tech that's playing really, really good basketball, but they've now gone the pause on the routine. So of this group that's sitting there waiting on the next person up, it could be Florida State, it could be Georgia Tech, it could be North Carolina, it could be Notre Dame. The list goes on and on here. Who do you like of that group, Debbie, to get hot here in the next couple weeks?
Well, if you're including Syracuse in that group, that's the team that I like. But I also think North Carolina, because they can score. They're in one of the three teams in the league over 80 points. I think North Carolina has a chance. They've got the pieces that if they put together a good little run here at the end. I think it's Virginia Tech just can't seem to catch a break. I mean, they're in every game and they just can't close out a game. I really like them. That game tonight is a really big game for postseason opportunity. Virginia Tech can't afford to fall too much further down in the standings. They need to get a big win, and North Carolina's trying to come off a loss. So I like that game tonight. That's the game that precedes the game that Jen and I have. I think that's a big one on the network. I also think that you mentioned Georgia Tech. I think Lorella Kubai and Hermosa on the inside. I mean, guys, if you ever need security detail, these are the two that you want to pick. I mean, they are tough, and they rebound, and they run. And I love watching the way they play. Nell has done a fantastic job, as not surprising as her resume would indicate that she would be a winner in the ACC. And then I think, Clemson and Amanda Butler, they're in every game. So if you go through the list and you look, you know, I'm big right now on, I think Louisville and NC State should be talked about in every single broadcast we do, every studio show we do, anything that has to do with the ACC, because they're clearly the number two and the number three teams in the country, and they have a real shot, a legitimate shot at getting to the Final Four. And then, you know, this year the women's tournament is going to be completely different because geography's taken out. True S-curve is going to actually be measured. We really won't have metrics to use because this is an unusual year with COVID and not having the resumes and the body of work that you usually would have. So it's going to be really interesting to see how the committee puts together where a team like NC State and Louisville will fall. The good thing for NC State is they've got that South Carolina win over the number one team. Ooh. Louisville, their resume is beaten up on the ACC, and unfortunately they didn't get to play UConn. It's an issue for them a little bit, but if you go with the eye test, which is what everybody's going to be talking about, Louisville has a chance to be a one or a two seed.
But Debbie, we're in a situation here where we're going to spend, you know, we could spend hours in a meeting room in wonderment over what would have happened had these teams played. The fact is they didn't play. So you have to take their work at what it is. And you mentioned the S-curve, and I think you're right. I think we get some validity out of the S-curve. But the reality of it is, you can't sit around and speculate about what if. You've got to talk about what has happened, men and women this year. And I think that people got to start understanding, if a team shows up and they've played 15 games, that's their resume. I mean, that's regardless of who they've beat or of how they've beaten. And people got to get used to that.
You know, guys, remember in the college football playoffs how, you know, running up the score and the eye test and putting points on the board? I think that's certainly something that will be considered. Now, look, the committee won't give you what criteria they're looking at. They're going to talk about the eye test. You know, in the women's game, you guys know I've advocated for a long time about a format change so that we could get to a true S-curve. This year, we finally have added the same net tool that the men use. But really, it's invalid in this scenario just because of the body of work and trying to measure up, you know, a Louisville against some other teams across the country that will have had a chance to play a little bit more of a tougher schedule. I'm not disrespecting the ACC. I'm just saying there's more teams ranked in the other leagues. So if you go by the AP poll and you look at who votes and who ranks teams, you know, I mean, sometimes as a voter, I look at teams like, and say somebody beat a team last week and they were ranked, but they had lost three in a row. Well, to me, that's not as quality of a win as what it would be if that team was trending in the other direction. So there's so many pieces of the puzzle that we don't know. I'm very excited to see how the S-curve experiment will work with the women's tournament. The men have had it for the longest time because they don't have geography in their mix. It's going to be interesting to see how San Antonio will play out in the Final Four. But I think there's a lot of discussion like this that needs to take place. So you can be strategic about whether you do decide to reschedule certain teams or not. And if you don't get to 13 games, there is a waiver process starting February 26th that the NCAA does allow teams to apply for. So, you know, it keeps Louisville from not being in jeopardy of maybe not getting to 13, or an NC State not getting to 13, or a North Carolina, you know, a team that, you know, is going to be trying to get back into the NCAA tournament.
Debbie, is there a player that has jumped out in the early stages of ACC play that you said, wow, they've really improved? Or maybe it's a new fresh face that you said, hey, if you haven't checked out ACC women's basketball, keep an eye on, fill in the blank.
Well, we love Dana Evans, right? I mean, she's just incredible how much she's improved. And the game has slowed down for her, and she continues to manage the other parts. I think her WNBA draft stock continues to go up every time she plays because it's not just her range and her ability to shoot it. It's her ability to manage the game. And I think she's done a really good job of that. I look at Elizabeth Kitley and Asia Shepherd. That's why I think Virginia Tech's got to get to work here. They've got to finish some of these games. Asia Shepherd is one of the best guards across the country that nobody talks about. I love watching their team play because they can score. They've got enough other pieces around Kitley and Shepherd. They've got to turn it around here quickly. And, of course, at NC State, I think everyone was making a big deal about Kayla Jones early, but I wasn't surprised at all. If you looked at her play at the end of last year, she was definitely trending in the right direction to have a huge impact for NC State. And, you know, guys, I talk about this on the air a lot about the difference between a stretch four and a hybrid four. What Kayla Jones has become is not just a stretch four who can pick and pop and shoot the three and open up the lane with her three-point shooting. She's become more of a hybrid four where she can make decisions with the basketball on the top of the floor. Wes Moore has 100% confidence and trust in her handling the ball late. And when you look at NC State, that's not who you would start with on the top of the scouting report. So I think those are marquee players. Dana Evans, Haley Van Lith at Louisville, Olivia Cochran on the inside. They are a tough team. NC State with Kunane and with Kai Crutchfield taking over the point guard responsibilities along with Reyna Perez, and she's been a huge surprise, I think, to a lot of people how much Perez has just seemingly moved right into taking over the NC State team.
All right. Debbie Antonelli should be with Jen Hildreth tonight, game three of our triple header here on ACC Network. Thank you as always. Stay well.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.